This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Jump around. It's like
jump around. Jump. I was actually talking to somebody the other day who was saying that she's afraid that at this point in her life, if she learns anything new, it'll push out something old. And I was like, yeah, I have a hard time learning new things, but I can remember all the words to jump around. So
Kate and Wesley were coming home yesterday and Shake Your Booty came on the radio.
Yep.
And so Kate's singing it and everything. And Wesley just goes, Mama, are they saying Shake Your Booty? She's like, yeah, that's pretty much the only words to the song, son. Is this a joke? This is a terrible song.
Yes.
And then she started thinking about it. She's like, you're right. This is a terrible song. But people seem to love it. And it was on the oldie station. Mm-hmm. And then after that, a Third Eye Blind song came on. Yeah.
You mean Semi-Charmed Kind Life?
Yeah.
Because that's literally the only Third Eye Blind song that anybody knows.
But still, that's on the oldie station.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know.
That and Runaway Train. And yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to start this thing off?
Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 220 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Did you watch some shows and stuff?
Yeah, you fucker.
Why am I a fucker?
Because last week we sat here and you were like, I'm not going to get that much watched because, you know, I'm going to be going on vacation and we're going to be doing this a week early, a day early. And then I said, but you're working from home 2 days. And you went, whoa, slow your roll there, chief. I got to be a professional.
I can't believe I used any of those words.
So I pumped the brakes a bit on my watching. I was like, I've got time. I'm going to be okay. And then you keep sending me these little fucking messages. You're like, I just watched 6 shows. This is them. Okay, I'll add them to my list. And then like the next day, I just watched 3 movies and these 6 other shows. Motherfucker. Like you were this close to getting a message that was like, stop now.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
After Thursday and Friday.
Because that's the other thing is like I had my D&D game this morning and it actually ran late. But like that's supposed to be 11 to 3. And then I was coming over here at 7:30, so I'm like, Sunday's pretty much out for watching stuff. I was like, so I basically got to front load everything into Saturday because work this week was kind of hectic.
Yeah.
So I like had to be at my computer the whole time. So I didn't like get a lot of opportunities to watch stuff there. And then as I told you, you know, I kept having social obligations.
Right, right.
So I'm sitting there, I'm like, what a dick.
Well, I fired up my tablet and I just put on Hannibal.
I can tell.
Yeah, and I put on Hannibal while I was doing stuff. And it was actually Thursday. I was really busy working from home, actually. Kate even commented, I've never heard your phone ring so much because it rings to my computer.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just people were calling out all kinds of asinine things. But regardless, I just kind of let it go. So I watched those 2 episodes of Hannibal, and then I was like, well, I need to watch 2 episodes of Dark. And I just said, fuck it. And I put it on English subtitle, English dubbed.
Oh.
But I left the subtitles on.
Okay.
Right? It's always fun to see that, because, like, at one of the episodes where the girl goes, where's my fucking red lipstick? And then the subtitle says, where's my red lipstick?
Yeah.
Did you take my lipstick, you fucking bitch? Did you touch my lipstick? Is all the subtitle says. So, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when the girl said, cunt, and then that didn't appear in the subtitles, I was just like, what's correct then? Did someone take some liberties with the dubbing, or is that the actual literal translation? And then the subtitle, people are like, yeah, we're not going to put all these F-bombs in here.
I like to think because thanks to my buddy Kelly, like I have subtitles on all the time now.
Yeah.
I just love it because I'll tell you something else is like you'll get some of these scenes where like somebody's talking on the phone and they're like, and you're not meant to hear it, but the subtitles are down there, and you're like, oh, I can read everything.
They did that on Zhuang. They had the people, like after they get done raping the girl, the guy goes off to...
Nice dramatic pause there.
Yeah. The guy, one of the girls that held... Okay, so two girls held down the one girl while the guy climbed on top of the town. And he's saying, I can't believe I get to have sex with this girl. Oh, no, I'm going to fill her up with my... Like, I'm like, what is this? Like, this, like, is this a porn subtitle now? So he finishes up, and his girlfriend was one of the girls holding the victim down.
Mm-hmm.
They go off to fuck. Because apparently she's all randied up now, and I guess he's back in action. So as they're walking...
I'll be young again.
When they're walking out of scene, they're talking about it.
Well, do you want to have sex now?
But you can see it.
And you can't hear the dialogue... But you can see the whole conversation.
Isn't it great?
While the girl's laying there on the floor in her misery.
Okay, that part's not great. But
you can see, like, oh, you ready to go already? Oh, you want to do it now? I'm like, what? You can't even hear dialogue. Yeah. It'd be like normal, like, background, inaudible background noise type of thing. Or inaudible dialogue
so
or something.
What I've learned from watching it, and it's not anything that I've looked it up, but just from watching it all the time, is I think what happens is that the subtitle people are given the script.
Yeah.
And they're told, here's the script, here's what's going to be said. But occasionally you get people who, like, ad-lib, or they, like, go a little bit off-book, because you'll see that the subtitle doesn't match up. It's in essence the same, but the actor has kind of put their own spin on it.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. But, yeah, I think that's what it is. So they probably, I'm guessing that with Dark, they probably added the cuss words, as you were. Flavor enhancers.
So when I watched episodes 3 and 4 of Dark, I thought they were all right. I thought 5 and 6 were tremendously better.
Mm.
Huge reveals.
Mm.
Excuse me. But near the end of each episode, where you can tell it's going to get important, I'd pause it on my tablet and I go sit in the living room and watch it on the big TV so I could really absorb it and then come back and get back to work and everything. So, but yeah, I just found that, like, I got through a ton of shit on Thursday, unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, well, I guess, because that's why, like, Thursday, I messaged you, like, well, do you want to watch a couple more Dark? And you're like, well, I don't know, let me know. And I was like, okay. And then Friday morning, I sit down for 7:30 through Dark on. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm watching 2 more, because I don't want to watch more Twilight Zone quite yet.
Right.
Because
but you watch the next 2.
Yeah, I watched 5 and 6 or whatever it was we were supposed to watch.
Among the Untrodden and 8.
Whatever, I watched the next 2. Yeah, 5 and 6, because we had watched 1 through 4.
Which 6 is titled 8, number 8.
Yes, well, because what happened was I watched 5, and I didn't even think about the fact that we're going to watch 1 a week or not kind of binge or whatever it is we're going to do, because we never discussed it. Halfway through 6, I was like, well, shit, I guess we're watching 6 too.
Well, you had said that we wanted to do like 2 because you don't want to pay.
Right.
So.
I'm cheap.
I know.
It's $10.
I know.
$10 is $10.
We're not even going to go there.
Well, I'm
we can do a whole other podcast about that.
On how thrifty I am?
No. A whole other podcast on, like, you know, the value of money versus time. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, $10 for 1 month versus $10 for 1 meal or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a whole other podcast.
I just view it as it's $10. I don't need to spend that $10 right now. Doesn't matter what it is.
We're not going to do that podcast. We're not really going to do it.
That's fine.
You get this one. It works.
Yeah.
We're up to 220 episodes. You know, that's actually a bragging factor.
It is, yeah.
Like, you know, I mentioned that I'm doing online dating, and I'll actually say that to people, you know, because they're like, oh, I'm into podcasts. I'm like, I have a podcast. And they're like, oh, really? Yeah, we're up to 220 episodes. Oh, you've got a real podcast.
I just had that the other day at work. I mentioned something. I was like, yeah, we're talking about my podcast. Oh, you have a podcast? I was like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, what's it called? I'm like, it's called What Did You Watch This Week? Oh, wow. How long have you been doing that? I don't know. We're up to episode 200. We're going to record episode 220 on Sunday. Holy shit.
Yeah. And I think 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So whatever that is divided by 52 is how many years we've been doing
You know, we haven't done every week because we've had, like, medical stuff.
But, you know, that's really few and far in between.
It is.
We've actually missed a week for some reason.
Yeah.
So.
I missed a few.
Well, you know, understandably so. Right, yeah.
But, yeah, like. I'll get different reactions. You know, sometimes it's just like, oh, that's cool. And then, like, somebody was just started listening. So Mike's got a deeper voice than you, right? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, because I forget that, like, these people don't know us.
Right.
you know, as much. And so, like, this is somebody who's never heard my voice, never met me in person, and they hear us the intro in the beginning, but you and I both have fairly deep voices.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they try to pick it out. So I guess, like, if you're a fan of the show and you've been watching for a while, then you probably know which one of us is talking at any given time. But other people are like,
well, that's why we introduce ourselves at the beginning of every episode. But again, you can't really voice tag yourself saying it once.
Right.
And our voices are similar.
Yeah. And it's not like I go, well, this is John chiming in with
Mike here. We should try that for a while.
We should. That'd be kind of cool.
Let's see what happens.
Well, Mike. Oh, you're Mike. I'm John. So, Mike, I've got a counterpoint to that.
That's a great comment you just made there, John, about that last episode we watched.
That's what I usually say. We've had 220 episodes. We've been doing this a long time. We're not professional.
God, no. Remember the first episodes when we tried to be professional? You edit the show and we'd write down. No. And then someone.
I remember you actually saying, like, well, I'd like to keep the swearing out if possible because I'd like it to be something my son could listen to. We actually tried for a while. Like, we'd watch ourselves. We're like,
yeah.
Nope. Now we go for the hard R as soon as we get in.
But not, it's not as bad, though.
No, it's not.
A lot of times it's more like PG.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I listen to this one podcast called Tim Bell Pod, and I would like to listen to it like when I'm doing the dishes or doing shit around the house when my son's around, but I can't because one guy gets talking passionately on some wrestler that passed away. He stops saying fuck constantly, and so it's like, oh, okay, can't have that on while I'm in the shower. Can't have that on while I'm doing stuff unless I have headphones on.
Right, right. So I guess we should talk about some shows.
Yeah.
How far in are we?
I'm listening here. 11 minutes.
11 minutes.
Only 11
minutes.
We have
yet to talk about. I mean, technically, we talked about subtitles and Dark.
Right, right, right.
Whew. Okay, so where do you want to begin? You said that you watched Hannibal the other day, or we could go to Dark.
Yeah, let's just go to Hannibal. Okay.
The show's disturbing.
This show is disturbing. I'm going to go back to the comment I made last week about how I wish they'd get on a plane once in a while and fly to the place where a crime happened. Because it's like literally, since I pointed that out, it's every episode is like, oh, good, it's short drive away. There's another deranged mastermind serial killer.
And even like they drive the point home with the like episode 10 with the girl who like was shedding skin and ripping people's faces off. You know, he says, you're in Wolf Creek, Virginia, or Wolf Trap, Virginia, or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, I want to make sure the audience knows we never go anywhere.
No, we never leave. We're always in Virginia, in the tri-state area.
Oh, so talk about that episode.
Oh, Bethel Bowe's dead. She drowned in her own blood after having her face cut into a Glasgow smile.
Where'd you get that?
Huh?
Like, was that you or was that the description that you're reading?
Well, no, they talked about it on the show, which was why I pointed it out. That's what Joker had.
Because they actually made the mention of it when the guy's tongue was hanging down.
Yes. Oh, that's an Irish, that's like an Irish necktie or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently this all happens in the UK. That was graphically gross. When the guy had his neck cut open and his tongue.
Like, it was moving.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, go ahead.
So, but Graham thinks he murdered her, which is disturbing. And even Crawford points out the fact that, you know, you've never contaminated a crime scene before when you leave you in there alone.
Right.
Like, but you contaminated this crime scene because
it looks like he's having a bad dream.
Right. And he thought he murdered someone, but it was because of his vivid hallucination. Along in the short of it, Lecter takes him to see this neurologist. It's a buddy of his, and they do a MRI on him, and he has
encephalitis.
Yeah, encephalitis, and his brain is very advanced, and half his brain is like swollen, not swollen, but inflamed and everything. And Lecter talks this doctor into not telling him and just having him continue to be experiment. Why?
Because he wants to publish a paper on it. Well, Lecter wants to see how far this can go, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's intrigued by it. He smelled it. Remember? That
was the whole thing? Yes, he mentions that a lot, how we can smell things.
Yeah. And so he's like, it's encephalitis. The guy's like, what does encephalitis smell like? And he's like, just test him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, you're right. But yeah, he basically wants him to write a paper on it while Hannibal basically tests him.
Yeah.
And cooks his brain.
So Graham goes back to LeBeau's house to look around, and he's attacked by the girl that killed her, who has her own issues. Like, Is that a real thing? Where your skin peels off like that?
Probably. She's been, what, institutionalized for a long time? And she, at 9 years old, her mother knew something was wrong with her because she would tell her, I'm already dead. I'm not alive. Now, I don't know about you. Did you actually notice, like, when the mother shows her a picture of the daughter, you know, and she's sitting there and it's kind of a faded photograph and she's smiling. I was like, I know who that is. And I looked it up. It was Ellen Muth.
Yeah.
Who played George on Dead Like Me.
Right.
Who was dead, a Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And in this show, she plays somebody named Georgia.
Oh, that's true.
She thinks she's dead.
That's true.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love that. I was like, did they really mean to do that?
So apparently Cotard syndrome is a real thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a real thing. It's a rare mental disorder which affected persons holds the delusional belief that they are dead, they do not exist, or are putrefied. But how did, like, her actual skin come off? Because, like, I think they took a real thing and kind of fictionalized it a bit.
Well, they asked if it was, like, leprosy or something along those
lines. Yeah.
So it could have been just two different conditions.
Yeah. So she mutilated LeBeau's face, which was her best friend, apparently. Because she thought that it was a stranger, because when she looks at your face, she doesn't see anything.
Which is, I loved how they did that.
Yeah.
When she saw Hannibal, and he was cutting that guy up, and he walked over to her, and there's, like, no face there, and he handed her the scissors, and she was just like, okay.
Well, Graham managed to convince her that she was alive and not alone, and arrested her, but brought her in for medical treatment to get her help. In the meantime, Lecter murders his best friend there, Dr. Sutcliffe. And that's when he did the
Colombian necktie.
Colombian necktie. That's what it was. Yeah. Not Irish, but Colombian necktie on him. And that's earlier in the episode. And then you see, like, when Graham said, like, when, Graham says to Lecter, do you think she'll remember anything or everything she went through?
Right.
And he goes, for her sake, I hope not. And you think, oh, it's because he's feeling bad for her. No, because it cuts to Graham. And this is finally when we see Lecter killing someone and the precautions he takes. He's literally wearing a plastic suit, head-to-toe plastic suit covering his clothes.
Yeah.
He is working on this guy with the scissors. And she walks in and catches him. And he just calmly hands her the scissors. And you see his face is blurred out and walks away.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because while he's saying that, she's kind of like looking over at him, but she can't see faces, so.
And Lecter killed his buddy because his buddy, like, he felt morally obligated to tell Graham what was going on. And when Lecter found out that his buddy was doing more CAT scans for Graham and doing shit after hours, he was like, all right, you gotta go. Because you're gonna ruin my experiment.
So, listen to this.
Yeah.
I'm on IMDb and I'm looking at the trivia, and yeah. It says, Ellen Muth guest stars in this episode as a character named Georgia Madchen, who thinks she's dead. She previously played a character named Georgia Lass, who actually was dead in Dead Like Me. Brian Fuller created both shows.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then it says, Madchen, her last name in this, is German for girl, just as Lass is Scottish for girl. So she's Georgia girl in both.
That's kind of neat.
I love it. I love
that. That is awesome. That is awesome. Episode 11.
Roti.
Yeah, we got Dr. Abel Gideon back.
Oh, I love Eddie Izzard. He's awesome.
Yeah. He escapes custody. And, well, it's funny because, the Colombian necktie was in this episode.
Right, right.
But he escapes custody. No, because that's right. Lecter, his doctor friend, he didn't give him the Colombian necktie. He carved his mouth open in the Glasgow smile.
Right, he was just trying to. Right. Pin it on her, essentially.
We watch them back to back. They merge together. They For some reason, I thought the Colombian necktie was in this episode as well, but it's not.
Yeah. The whole thing was we were kind of getting a follow-up to an earlier episode where they convinced him that he was the Chesapeake Ripper, which he's not, because Lecter is the Chesapeake Ripper.
Right.
But this doctor had convinced him, you know, basically planted the idea in his head that, you know, in Gideon's head that you are the Chesapeake Ripper.
Right.
And then
that's why he killed the guy's nurse.
Right. But then Bloom came along and said, hey, he stuck that idea in your head. You're not really the Chesapeake Ripper. So now he is being transferred, and he's like, I'm going to sue you, and I'm going to tell the world that you put this idea in my head.
Yep.
So I think the doctor basically arranged it for that crash to kill him.
I think so, too.
Yeah. He wanted him dead so that he could never reveal that this happened.
Right.
Didn't go that way because he broke out. And... Now, here's the thing. Okay, this is one of the first times when I really had to suspend disbelief. Because he took out all of those guards. Now, granted, this was an old country road kind of thing, but it wasn't like an old dirt road
right. That
he was being transported on. He killed these guards, removed several of their vital organs, dragged all their bodies over to that tree, kind of propped them up, and then took their organs out, tied bows in some of them, and hung them like ornaments from the tree.
Yeah, someone would have driven along at some point, I think.
I would think so. And, you know, the whole point was that the Chesapeake Ripper would have taken all of those organs, and he hung them up there to show people, I'm not the Chesapeake Ripper.
Right.
Yeah.
So he kidnaps the Dr. Chilton, the guy he's suing.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets Freddie Lowndes, captures her, forces her to write an article about him.
Mm-hmm.
Graham's getting worse and worse with his hallucinations. He's getting a temperature, and you know by the end of the episode, he's hospitalized from it all.
Yes.
They find another psychiatrist dead, and so basically they're like, all right, any psychiatrist that he felt had a hand in him, Gideon, that is, he's killing them. So they put Bloom in protective custody. The girl, the psychiatrist that Graham's kind of dating, and the one that was like told Gideon, "Hey, you're not the Chesapeake Ripper. They planted this in your brain." So then we get a very graphic scene of Gideon performing surgery on Chilton to remove all the kinds of organs from his body
mm-hmm.
and make a gift basket
yeah.
out of his organs in Chilton's hand for the Chesapeake Ripper.
Yeah,
and he makes Freddie. Not only watch, but she has to pump air for him.
Yeah, he says if you stop breathing, she's yeah. going to be there to pump yeah. the respirator.
Yeah, hand pump the respirator, yeah. And he flees, and they find her, and they find the doctor, which we are told to believe that he survived this somehow, that they got him to surgery and they were able to get his organs back in him.
That's what he said was, you know, it's amazing how much the body can actually give up before yeah. it shuts down.
So Graham catches Gideon, who was going after Bloom, and for whatever reason,
he wasn't really that hard to catch.
No, he wasn't.
He was just kind of standing there staring in Bloom's window.
Yeah, and Gideon and Graham takes him, and then takes him to Lecter because he wants Lecter.
No, he didn't. He shot him.
That was at the end.
Yeah.
He takes him to Lecter first.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say.
He catches him, takes him to Lecter because he wants Lecter to see, hey, he's real. Tell me this is real and that I'm not hallucinating, I'm not imagining him.
And then he kind of blacks out, so he doesn't even realize that he...
But then Lecter, yeah, he starts having a seizure, and Lecter's like, oh, he's having a seizure. And Gideon's like, you don't seem very concerned about it. It's just a seizure.
Because that was the whole reveal. Yeah. He found himself like standing there talking to Lecter, and he's like, I was going to bring him here. And he's like, no, you just showed up here, blah, blah. And then he passes out, and then we see that he did actually bring him there. So, yeah.
But we get Lecter lying to Graham, telling him, you're the only one here. He's not here. You don't, yeah. you know. Like, he's fucking with him more. Mm. Which is kind of like, isn't that really just like fucking with your test results?
Maybe.
Ultimately, Gideon... You know, when Graham has a seizure, Lecter lets Gideon leave, but then goes back to Bloom's, and that's when Gideon shoots him.
Right.
Graham shoots him outside.
Yeah. And then collapses.
Yeah.
Which I assume at this point, I haven't watched the next episode, but I assume at this point that a real doctor is going to look at him and they're going to treat him for the encephalitis. Because this seems like the type of thing that they can't get another 2 seasons out of with him like this. So I'm going to assume that they're going to treat it.
I feel like he's going to get treated, but at the same time, he's still brilliant.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that they keep talking about, and they really have fleshed it out in these last 2 episodes, is he has, like, hyperactive empathy, where he sees and feels everything that the killers do, and he is there in the moment. That's why he can see the things that he does. So I think Lecter is trying to test the upper limits of that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a challenge for Lecter, too, because somebody like that is going to eventually find him
and
figure out what he's doing.
Right.
So I don't know if he's trying to stop that or if he's like, this is the only person who can ever stop me. So he wants him to. You know how sometimes you get that where it's like, I'm so good, nobody can ever catch me, but I kind of want to be caught because... Right.
It's a level of arrogance.
Mm.
Warrior Nun, did you watch episode 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is my synopsis in episode 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, never have they taken so much time to not tell a fucking story. Even the fact that they were trying to shoehorn in some stuff about divinium and, you know, quantum teleportation stuff based on her little breastplate. I legitimately, like you had said, you were like, I still don't know if I'm sold. And I was like, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it and I'm like, why am I fucking watching this?
Yeah.
It's not good. Like, it's not an enjoyable show at this point.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to watch stuff.
Yeah.
Between now and next week when we record.
Like, really? This time?
Well, because I'm leaving Monday morning, coming back Friday evening.
You had lots of excuses last time.
So I'm really only going to have Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to prioritize Hannibal and Dark. I want to finish season 1 of Hannibal and Twilight Zone. So I'm probably not going to watch episode 3.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Warrior Nun?
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot to say about it. So this episode, Ava continues to discover life now that she's not a paraplegic, which I understand. And these new people that she's met and questioning, she doesn't know how to act around people. So it's all teen drama shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You know?
Nothing but teen drama.
In the background, we get the stuff you're talking about. Of course, she happens to go to this party with the other adults there.
But it wasn't even a party they were invited to. They were crashing it.
It's a party they crashed with a press badge so they could get all kinds of food and shit. It's just something they do.
And so they could pickpocket a security badge off a guy and, you know,
and let the other people in. And so anyways, but basically it's just a scam these hustlers do to get money, steal wallets, be pieces of shit in society. Of course, it happens to be the same place where, you know... artifacts like the one that's embedded in her back are, and these people are using, and blah 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 blah, and a demon shows up, and by the end of the episode she is then captured, essentially drugged and knocked out, and she's now with the other warrior nuns and the priest.
Yep.
And we find that the halo is supposed to go to someone else, which we knew, but the other person was supposed to go to, it's like
a dick. Well, she's like sixth generation.
Yes, exactly. Like, my family's always been bred to carry these and yada, 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 yada. They're nuns. Should they be having kids? How is that possible? If you're bred to do this, does that mean that, like, okay, so was it your aunt that held it before you? Because it couldn't have been your older sister. Because it couldn't have been your mother. Because then when did she have time to make you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, did you already have a kid? Is there next generation there somewhere? Is someone else from your family making it? Because then it's not a continuous lineage if it's not going mother to daughter. If it's just staying in the family bloodline. Anyways.
It's a valid point.
So, regardless. So, 2 full episodes, and she's now finally with them. So, I'm guessing the next episode will be a bunch of bullshit about her learning what's in her back. And us getting some backstories and training and fighting over taking it out of her, but no, it'll kill her. And
they'll all hate her and give her lots of attitude.
And she, yeah, or they'll like her, but the one that's, you know, destined to have this will give her attitude. I don't know. Any way you slice it, it doesn't excite me to want to watch it.
No.
Will I sit down and watch it the week after? Maybe, because I'll have more time to watch shit.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll watch episode 3 then, but it's not a priority.
This is so weird. Like, usually you're the one that gives up on a show way before me, and I'm like, why are you even bothering?
Yeah.
You're actually talking about, well, I might watch it. I got halfway through this episode. I was like, this is garbage. Like, all the time spent on her, like, I think he likes me. I think he's flirting with me.
Yeah.
I've got to tell him not to protect me and not to always try to save me.
Yeah. But
it's teen angst drama. Like, I was expecting supernatural kung fu-ery and
you know,
demon fighting, and this is... It sucks.
Yeah, it does. You want to talk about Twilight Zone? You want to talk about Dark?
Let's talk about Twilight Zone first.
Okay.
So, the first episode, Among the Untrodden. This one didn't get very high ratings on IMDb. I actually liked it. I liked the twists in it. Basically, it's a boarding school, girls' boarding school. New girl shows up in class, immediately picked on by all the cool girls.
Yep.
You know, immediately tormented.
Yeah.
You know, hey, they send her a little message that says, like, you know, how much of a freak are you or something like that.
It's like, yeah, why did you leave your last school, Circle One? You're a loser, you're a freak, or you slept with someone. It was basically they're both condescending.
And she tries to ignore it, and, you know, the popular girl, the leader of the clique, like, throws a pencil at her head. She's like, sign it! And then she goes, hey, give me my pencil. And then the pencil, like, disintegrates. That's our first hint.
Yeah.
But the new girl is basically doing her science project on whether or not psychic abilities exist.
It's kind of a neat project.
It's a very neat project. However, in a Catholic boarding school, it's not going to go over well.
Yeah.
You got to know that from the jump.
Yeah, but the teacher seemed like, oh, it's a great idea.
But here's what was interesting, too, because she's a brand new student. Okay, introduced right now, and she's like, oh, tell them about your final project. Okay.
How does she know what final project is?
And she tells them what her final project is, and then the teacher goes, well, we've already locked it in.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But she would be, so I want to change it. She's like, oh, it's already been, the brochures have already been printed. What?
What?
Yeah.
So, basically, she discovers, she asks the class to help her out, so she gives them these dot test, you know, like the
well, she holds up a card and it's like, what do you see? Write down the answer.
And it's the old psychic
circle star. It's like Ghostbusters.
Yep, exactly.
Wavy line, circle, star, plus, cross, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And the one girl gets them all wrong. The mean girl.
Yep. And basically this girl tells her, you know, it's like Into the Spider-Verse when the teacher pulls Miles aside. She's like, in order to get zero on a true-false test, you would have to know all the answers. Technically, you should get at least half of them right.
Yeah.
And she's like, the only way you could get them all wrong is if you already knew all the right answers. And that's what this girl says. She's like, the only way you could have gotten a zero is if you knew what was on the cards. She's like, fuck you. And she's like, no, seriously, like, you had to have known. Statistically speaking, you should have gotten at least seven right, just by accident. So they start testing it, and it turns out that, you know, she's got psychic powers, and she knows all the cards, and then they're like, well, let's step it up. And so, like, the girl, the new girl looks at the card and then burns it so that the other one can't see it. And she's like, now read my mind. And she reads her mind. She can't move things with her mind. She doesn't right. have psychokinesis or anything like that that they can tell. But so she's starting to bond with her, but then every time the other girls are around, you know, mean girl is a bitch.
Yep.
And she starts, what you think is going to be the big twist of the episode is that she basically uses her powers for evil.
Yep.
You know, she starts going around and picking on kids. Like, she, you know, you better get away from this table, or I'm going to tell everybody that you watched your stepfather jerking it to whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell them that you stayed until he climaxed. And, you know, she's reading minds and really fucking with people. And that kind of stuff keeps going on until they finally humiliate the new girl, get her a little high, get her a little drunk, record her saying embarrassing things, and then humiliate her by playing that as one of their science projects.
Anatomy of a Loser.
Yep, Anatomy of a Loser. And she freaks out and screams, and those girls all drop dead. So then we're left to believe, oh, does she have the... there was an incident earlier where they wanted to get to the roof, and Mean Girl, you know, used her psychic powers and basically said, you know, they got caught by one of the teachers, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to tell them you've been taking money from the petty cash fund and blah, 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 you know, basically blackmailed her.
Right.
And she said, I want the key to the roof. She's like, I don't have the key to the roof. So then she's like, I really want the key to the roof. And it just dropped out of the sky. So they unlocked the roof, and then the key disintegrated. Her friend was like, the new girl was like, oh, it must be that, like, you can manifest it, but once it's served its purpose, it's gone.
Yes.
So that's what happened to the pencil back in the beginning was, you know, it served its purpose.
She couldn't find a pencil anywhere, and then all of a sudden there was a pencil on the desk, which at that point I'm like, oh, she manifested the pencil. That's why it disappeared like the key did. Okay, that makes sense.
So now, of course, like I said, you know, we have the Anatomy of a Loser. She screams bloody murder. All these girls drop dead. So now the popular girl is like, it was you. You had the powers. You convinced me that I had the powers. You're a freak. This is why you left your last school. And they like get in this big fight about it. And she's like, no, you have the powers. No, you have the powers. And they go back and forth, back and forth. And then they finally have a touching moment where they hug because she's like, you're my only friend. Yeah, you're my only friend. And then the new girl starts to disintegrate.
Yeah.
Because she was manifested because the popular girl just wanted a real friend.
Yeah, Madison's big reveal to her was like, when I first saw you, when I wanted, there's someone I can be a real friend with, someone that's not fake, this and that. So she was desperate for a friend, and then once she was done with her friend.
Yep.
Because then Jordan
had been fulfilled.
And then Jordan Peele's character, the narrator, pops up, and he basically is like, Madison had the powers all the time. She just made herself a new friend, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we see another new girl come in the classroom looking very similar to Irene, and it's assumed that Madison manifested herself a new friend again.
Yep. So like I said, it didn't score very high on IMDb. I dug it because it did have some cool twists to it. Yep. It felt Twilight Zone-y, where it was like a mystery. Why don't you talk about 8?
So I enjoyed Among the Untrodden as well. I was not as big of a fan of 8. It's basically John McHale's in there. And it's a bunch of group of scientists, and they're in, I guess they're in Antarctica. At first I thought they were underwater, based on everything.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, but I guess they're on top of the water, on top of the ice.
And they got a nice fishing hole.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Long and the short of it, they find a new species of an octopus. And you have a Chinese scientist there, and
they have some cool translation technology.
Yeah, basically she doesn't speak English. So she has an app on her phone, so she has an earbud in where she speaks in her native language. It's translated through the other girl's phone, who has an earbud, and she translates for her, and then vice versa, when everyone speaks English, you know, it goes back to her, you know. It's kind of neat.
Yep.
But essentially, they find this octopus. And we get some mysterious deaths at the beginning. They find an octopus in this cooler, that they put the octopus in the tank. And the long and the short of it, because I'm not going to give you a deep breakdown of the whole thing. The octopus is some sort of either alien or I feel like alien more than anything. But the Americans are looking for this species of octopus because of the healing powers it has and the medical purposes they can use it for. The Chinese person is looking for this octopus because they want to take the DNA of the octopus, splice it with the humans so that humans can be underwater and now the China can rule the water and this and that. Well, the octopus apparently can access their technology by touching shit with his octopus legs.
And can also, like, shrink himself down to the size of, like, a one-inch pipe.
Yeah, and figure out, because he's a cephalopod, so he doesn't have any bones. So that is probably possible, or close to it. And basically, he can determine this technology that if he splices his DNA with human DNA, then now he can rule the land. And basically, the octopus kind of wins at the end. It's kind of a weird story. To me, this was more of an Outer Limits than a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, this was a legitimate Monster of the Week episode of one of those type of shows.
Yeah.
It was, the title of it was 8, and the only thing that I could figure out for that was that there were 8 people down there, and all 8 of them were
8
killed.
Legs on an octopus.
8 legs on an octopus, good point, yeah.
Glenn Morgan wrote this. He also did all the Final Destination movies. He did some X-Files. Glenn Morgan and James Wong were a team that did a lot of X-Files. They did this, Space Above and Beyond years ago, that failed sci-fi series. Yep. Yeah, they did that as well.
And we get the traditional Monster of the Week ending where, you know, he escapes back down into the water.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, what could possibly happen. And then his head starts glowing. And all of a sudden you see all these other octopi that are just like him. And they all start rising up off the bottom of the seafloor. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, definitely way more of a Twilight Zone. I mean, sorry, of an Outer Limits than a Twilight Zone. Because Twilight Zone is always... Twilight Zone delved into the supernatural, but not of this level. Like, they did more...
And there was always some kind of twist.
Aliens or ghosts or something of that nature, whereas Outer Limits was more of this type of thing.
Yeah. You know? Horror or, you know, thriller type of
it's
thing.
It's kind
of
weird how they're both very similar shows where it's a anthology show where they have different supernatural-related or themed or whatever stories every week, but yet they are kind of very distinctly different in presentation and in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely felt more like Outer Limits to me.
Yeah, I was not as impressed with this episode.
Yeah. We got 4 episodes left for this season, so.
2 at a time. We got 2 more weeks.
Other than Dark, real quick, I watched Juong and episode 2. There's only 4 more episodes left. They're half an hour. I'll probably finish it at some point. It's really dropped low on my list because I haven't seen enough Ghost Story as much as I've just seen dickhead kids being violent and bad to each other.
Gotcha.
Not so much Ghost. The Ghost Story, even the first episode, is like, well, in the first episode, it was like maybe half Ghost Story, half establishment. Second episode is all dickhead kids, very little Ghost Story in it. So,
I'll say that I watched the next 2 episodes of Love Life.
Oh, yeah.
This is still a decent, solid show. Like, the next 2 episodes don't even deal with boyfriends. They deal with her mother and then her best friend who is spiraling out bad.
How many episodes does this show have?
So far, like 12.
That's a lot. Is it done or getting close to being done?
It must be. Like, I'm not checking ahead. It probably is just about done, but I'm still really enjoying it. I watched the second episode of this season of Doom Patrol, which is called Time Patrol, T-Y-M-E, because they go against Dr. Time. Dude, this show is just great. It's awesome. It's still slow burning, but I'm digging it.
There's 10 episodes.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I must be getting close then.
Yeah.
Because I just did the one that was Sarah.
It was called Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah Yang?
Sarah Yang, yep.
There's 2 episodes left.
Okay, good. I'll burn through those. Doom Patrol, dude. I'm not going to go into details because I know you're going to watch it at some point. But
yeah,
dude,
I do plan on it.
Dude, it's great.
Nice.
I don't know if I'm going to keep up with it, but I got one of those Hulu recommendations and I checked it out. It's a British show. It's called My Mad Fat Diary. And it's based on a book by this person named Rachel, who goes by Ray. And it takes place in like 1996. She's just out of a institution. She hasn't really told us why she was in the institution. But I watched the trailer for it, and it looked kind of interesting. Like I said, it's 96. But her best friend is Jodie Comer.
Oh.
And this came out in 2013. She looks so young. Like, I honestly knew it was her, and I still had to go to IMDb afterwards and make sure that I didn't read it wrong. Because it just... She's so young, and her voice doesn't sound the same. It's, like, much higher pitched. But I got to tell you this. You will really appreciate this.
Okay.
They're in a bar in the beginning, and it's more like coffee house bar type of thing.
Sure.
But one of the guys that's in their group goes up there to sing a song, and he's like, yeah, here's a song that, you know, just came out this past week. And he takes his acoustic guitar, and he starts playing. And I'm like, I know this song. But it's an acoustic song.
Yeah.
And he's like, Browner. Yeah. And then when he gets to the chorus, and he goes, Return of the Mac. I went, are you shitting me? He's doing an acoustic cover of Return
of
the
Mac. Is that in episode 1?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch episode 1 just to see an acoustic cover of Return of the Mac.
I didn't finish episode 1. I will finish episode 1. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick
episodes?
With it. They're about 50 minutes. But here's the thing is, like, it's one of those where she kind of narrates it. But when she narrates it, it's supposed to be her diary. So, like, there'll be scribbles on the screen. Or she really, really... is a horny teenager. Like, she talks about the guys in her group about whether or not they're a super deluxe pizza or just, you know, like a thin slice. And, you know, she, about one of them, she says, I would shag him so hard that there'd be nothing left of him. Like, literally nothing except for a pair of glasses and a moist spot.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's very raunchy in that respect. But yeah.
I'm going to check out the first episode just to see an acoustic cover of Return of the Mac.
As soon as you hear the song, you're like, I know these words, but
Return
it just sound off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D.
These were an excellent adventure.
This was not a great episode.
Oh.
No. We got basically...
I wanted more.
We basically got, like, we see the Zephyr jump. We're left, Mac and Deke are left in 82, 83, whatever it is.
How do you like the fact that Mac, like, cops an attitude on Deke right off?
Yeah.
Like, it's his fault.
Right,
what the fuck?
Yeah, Mac blames Deke, and then Mac speeds away and just leaves him there.
Yep.
And next thing you know, it's been months. And basically, this is essentially what we see. Mac is a sad sack piece of shit.
Yeah.
Who can't get out of, who's so sad and depressed, but he must be working because he has a house and he puts together models and he drinks beer and he's growing a big beard, but he's just pathetic and sad and is sad and depressed.
Because he went in the beginning and saw him and his brother, you know, knowing that their parents are dead.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, he just, we get this montage of him being a sad sack.
Yeah. So he leaves Deke on his own.
Yeah. Because he's a selfish prick.
In the interim, you see Deke. Oh, Sybil is still around.
This was kind of a cool part.
Yeah, this guy brings, like, it's like a Radio Shack, but not. But this guy brings a computer, and hey, there's something wrong with our computer, yada, yada.
Typical 80s dude with the flipped collar and the wavy hair.
Yeah, so the computer dork basically gets in the computer, finds Sybil, basically builds a Johnny Five short-circuit robot version of Sybil, who then builds her own versions of the same thing.
And kills him.
And kills him. So that there's that. Deke keeps coming to Mac's place. Hey, it's New Year's Eve. Happy 83, buddy. Bringing him food. Hey, do you know if you want to hang out today? Just trying to be a friend to him. Not giving up on him.
The first time he does it, he's like, you know, it took me forever to find you because, you know, there's no internet in 1982. So it was really tricky to track you down. But I found you. And, like, Mac had actually let him in the first time. And, you know, he reaches into a bag and pulls out a red rubber ball. And he's like, yeah, I thought maybe we could play around. This part was actually kind of funny because it was almost like the dog.
Yeah.
You know, Mac just like throws it out in the yard and he goes, oh, you threw it away. I'll go get it. And he goes outside. Mac just like shuts the door and locks him out.
Walks away. Yeah. Mac finally goes to this bar because Deke is like, hey, I got something really important to talk to you about. Yada, yada. And then when Mac gets there, Deke's in a cover band and they're singing
Their own original song.
Yeah, their own original song, which is Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club, which I know it's not from that, but that's what everyone knows it from.
Exactly.
And we don't get they start singing and it cuts to commercial. And I'm like, oh, that's all we're going to get. But they come back from commercial break and finish the song, so I appreciated that.
And I love that the people in the audience were digging on it. And he was like, you know, sing along. And they're like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, it was good. Mac basically shits on Deke because Deke reveals, hey, this is S.H.I.E.L.D. This is our new team. This is the team I put together. And, yeah, they're not the greatest people in the world at the end of the day, but they're there together, and they all kind of worship Mac because Deke does.
Yeah.
And Mac shits on them and shits on all of them and this and that until Deke pulls out Coulson, Mac's Hedren version of Coulson, where Coulson's like a hard drive as well, which makes sense as to why now he's here. On the screen and everything. And then Sybil and the other hunters show up, robots, and of course now we have a battle, and the team comes together, and they're an actual team, and Mac kind of has to put his shit aside, and this was kind of funny. He puts on his jumpsuit with no sleeves, trims his beard off, puts a headband on, and grabs a shotgun with an axe, and is like, let's do it.
Because Deke especially made it for him. You know, he's like, I put these special polymers, and you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to. And then, yeah.
And so the end of it was decent enough with them all kind of working together.
It had its moments. But, yes. I wanted so much more from this. I didn't want to just watch Mac be a sad sack because we've seen that so many times before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of it.
Now, and then one of the people, it was one of the girls in the band confronts Mac and is like, well, you know what? You don't need to apologize to. It's not Deke. It's those kids of yours. Because clearly that one kid that looks exactly like you is your kid. And you don't take care of him or spend time with him. What are you talking about? Basically, he finds out that Deke's been taking care of his uncle and Mac and his brother.
Checking in on him monthly.
Checking in on him. You know, he's like, my uncle's car's a lot nicer than I remember it. Yeah, well, yeah. Bringing him toys, bringing him model. You know what I mean?
Because Deke's doing what Deke does.
Yeah.
And he basically did the exact same thing he did before where he knows about the future.
Yeah.
So he is inventing stuff now and taking credit for it and making money.
Right.
You know, between songs, technology, whatever.
Exactly.
And this is what Deke does. And so he's got the money to fund S.H.I.E.L.D. right now and to take care of Mac's uncle.
And it's funny because Deke's like, well, don't you remember you had a better relationship with your brother than you did before? And Mac kind of like ponders up and goes, yeah, I did. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
He's got both sets of memories.
Frequency.
Yeah. But in the end, the Zephyr finally appears. May and Yo-Yo get to Mac and Deke. They tell him what happened. Because it starts out with May questioning Deke, basically, about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of get the flashbacky thing. Of course, you know, she's there to get Coulson's hard drive. And yes, and Coulson's like, and I'm sure she has a new body for me. And May's like, probably. So I like how they're just like, yeah, don't worry. Coulson's still going to be there.
Exactly.
His death is his superpower.
Yep.
But the long and the short of it, Sybil and the Hunters raid. They all get destroyed, but one little robot gets away with
the... I loved watching the little thing of it, like, yeah, the still shot of the stairs, and it's, like, going back and forth because it can't just, like, thump down the stairs. Yeah. It's like... Meh, meh, meh.
And basically brings the time stream device to Nathaniel Malik, who's still alive, and talking to the now Sybil Max Headroom.
Yeah.
And, the Zephyr hadn't jumped yet. By the end of the episode.
Because when they landed, she said, we've got like 23 days or something like that.
And basically, so is this the new shield? And Max's like, yeah, this is the new shield. So is there no shield at this point? Is that what we're led to believe?
I don't know.
Because the lighthouse was abandoned.
Right.
When last we knew, the lighthouse wasn't abandoned.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it was just this branch of shield. Yeah. You know?
I don't know. Interesting, but we'll see. We got five more episodes or so.
Yep. For real this time.
Yeah. Dark. There's a lot to deep dive in these four episodes.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I had watched 3 and 4, and then you were like, okay, I watched 3 and 4. Now I'm going for 5 and 6.
Well, you watched 3 and 4 quite a long time ago.
Yes. So bring us up to speed.
Oh, God. There's too much. I've watched too much all at once. But
just hit the high points.
Well, you had said to me, I had mentioned, like, do we find out who that guy is?
And I said we get a name by the end of episode 4.
Yeah, we get a name by the end of episode 4. So my thought was, oh, that's his name. Of the mystery guy that shows up and goes, that's not his name. We don't know who he is yet still. Mm-hmm.
But we got a name.
But we got a name, Noah, and that's some priest. Who's that? Was Noah in the past, too? We haven't seen him yet? I don't know. Basically, episodes 3 and 4 are more story building. And we're learning about... We see the kids in the past, and we see the same characters in the past and in the present.
I like how some of the camera work will do that.
Yeah.
Where they'll show them side by side. I wish we could get more... Like I said, episode 4 was called Dual Lives.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see, like, this is happening in the past, so look at how it affects the present.
Yeah.
But we didn't. It's a 33-year cycle.
Yeah, we find... Okay, let's just all this episodes together. We find it's a 33-year cycle.
Yep.
And every 33 years, everything realigns. You know, the planets, the this.
Because it's based on the Julian calendar.
Right.
You know, and she says, we're not... This isn't accurate.
Yeah.
We lose time, so we're constantly running behind. But every 33 years...
Everything lines back up. Yeah, yep. All the calendars, everything lines back up again. Because... But she's talking about planets and everything lines back up.
Yep.
Because, you know, 365 is days is not actually a full year. It's 365 and a quarter days, but,
right. You
know.
Yep.
So, okay.
So Peter, 33 years ago.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out where I want to go.
33 years. Well, I'll just start throwing stuff out and go back and forth. 33 years ago. Ulrich's brother Mads disappeared.
Yes.
Vanished.
Yep.
They never found him.
Correct.
Okay. Now, 33 years later, same time,
Mikkel
disappears.
Yeah.
We get to see, as observers of the show, that Mikkel has ended up in that time period 33 years ago.
He finds out he's in 1986.
Yes.
In 1986 or 2019 is where we're looking at, yeah.
They find, at the same time, they find a dead body in the forest thinking that it's Mikkel, but it's actually a kid who is dressed like he's out of the 80s with a Walkman that is playing a
and
song from
like
the
we 80s. Said, his face, kind of eyes, nose, head, you know, is all melted away. And we never even see Eric.
Nope.
In any of these episodes.
Well, we've seen, not in these episodes, but we saw Eric in the first couple episodes he was in that room.
Right, and he had the same device put on his face, but we don't see Eric in episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6 at all. Have you watched any more?
We keep seeing his posters. No, I haven't. No, I want to, because of how much we're learning and everything, because it's even throwing me off. That's the thing is, like, there are so many characters, but I don't know if it's because of the subtitles and everything, but it's throwing me off so that, we'll get to it in a minute, but the big reveal in episode 5, I forgot how brothers, sisters worked. like, I couldn't remember which ones were paired up, so I was thinking that the big reveal in episode 5 was like, wait, so is he his own dad type of thing.
Oh.
It really threw me off for a little bit, because I'm doing the math, and I'm like, whoa, but no. So anyway, we've got these two missing boys who now one of them, 33 years later, just appears. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, some boy appears.
Right.
We will eventually find out that...
Oh, fuck it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just make it easier to talk. At the end of episode 5...
6.
No, at the end of episode 5, we find out that Mikkel went back in time, tries to get to the future, goes to the cave again, gets injured, meets Hannah, meets people that he knows as his parents or something.
Or friends of his parents.
Or friends of his parents as a child. Or he meets his parents and his mom and then friends of his parents as a child. And then we find out basically he stays there.
Yeah.
Because we don't see a letter from... We don't see the letter that Michael, the guy that killed himself at the beginning. We don't see the letter that he wrote his mom that she read and closed up.
Right.
What we do see is his son Jonas.
Yep.
Michael's son Jonas has his dad's map.
Yep.
And he's going to the caves, and he's following the map, and he's going through these doors, and on and on and on.
No, he read the note before he went to the caves. We find out that twist in episode 5. Episode 6, he goes to the caves.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Are you sure?
I am absolutely certain, because think about where he ends up outside of the cave.
Well, at the end, okay, so in episode 5.
Everybody right? Confused yet?
I know, right?
If you're not watching this show, you got to watch this show.
All right, hold on.
It's getting good.
I'm just going to read the Wikipedia entry. I'm switching to that. My notes are not as good. In 2019, Yasin is also vanished, the deaf kid.
Yes.
He just vanished. Yes. This is episode 5 we're talking about.
And he's not deaf. He's just boyfriend with the deaf girl, and he learns sign language so that...
No, he's deaf as well. That's why he is. That's why he doesn't, because his mother's talking to him in sign language as well.
Oh, okay.
That's because they go to a deaf school together.
Gotcha.
And that's why he doesn't hear the guy coming through the woods after him.
Gotcha.
So episodes 3 and 4 are more storyline building, but...
Episode 3 is all about being in 1986 and what's going on with Mikkel. And him basically trying to... Like, he's in shock. He's walking around in shock, and he doesn't know. And these people are trying to take care of him, but, like, he says something about he wants to talk to Ulrich when he goes to the police station, because Ulrich is a cop.
Yeah.
That's his friend's dad.
Yeah.
No, that's not his dad. That's his friend's dad.
Right, it's his friend's dad.
And they're like, Ulrich, the troublemaker? What's he done this time? We're always busting him. And so he slowly starts to realize this is 1986. These are people, like you said.
No, Mikkel.
Yeah.
That's Ulrich's dad. That's Ulrich's father.
That's right, yes.
Ulrich is his father.
Like I said, it gets a little confusing when you're dealing with this.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Ulrich is his dad.
Yes.
Episode 5. In 1986, Mikkel is in the hospital after breaking his leg in the cave.
Yeah.
He's visited by a priest named Noah.
Yeah.
Now, in episode 4... Peter's father, Held, the guy with the dementia that we see walking around.
Yeah, who keeps saying it's going to happen again.
He's saying we need to stop Noah.
Mm-hmm.
We must stop Noah. So.
And then I'm pretty sure the Shaggy guy introduces himself as Noah.
No, the priest
At the
does.
End of episode 4?
No.
When he walks into the hotel?
Nope, he doesn't.
Are you
because
sure?
Because the priest is Noah.
Well, I know the priest is Noah, but I felt like the Shaggy guy also introduced himself as Noah.
I don't think so. Because I know the Shaggy guy approaches, hooded guy approaches Elizabeth's friend, Yasin, at the end of episode 4 and tells him that Noah has sent him.
Oh, that might be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. He said Noah's, and he gives the pocket watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hannah, who still loves Ulrich now, loved Ulrich as a kid.
Yeah. And, this was messed up.
Yeah, and he sees Ulrich and Katrina having consensual sex, but then accuses him to the police that he raped her.
Well, tells her dad first.
Yeah.
Says, I saw him push her down and choke
her. Held his hand over her mouth.
And she kept saying no.
Yeah.
And then goes to the police and makes this whole statement. Yeah. And, of course, she's young, so they keep her name out of it, but he gets arrested for statutory rape.
Right. And I'm assuming that we find out that didn't actually happen, but later on you see kind of an explosion between Hannah and Katarina. Oh, no. Katarina beats the shit out of a girl.
Yeah, but it's not her.
It's not Hannah. But she says, well, you're the one that reported the police that, yeah. that or
Rick. She's that's like, the one who runs the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And who just found out she has breast cancer.
Right. But she basically was accused by Ulrich and Katarina all these years of being the one that ratted on that, yep. that accused him of
raping her. And she just laughs. She's like, oh, you think that was me?
Yeah, no, that wasn't me. Yeah.
But then Ulrich goes back through the police files, which are not redacted. They're not private or anything.
Right.
He just has all the information
right here. He looks it up finally.
Oh, it's her.
He sees Hannah did it. And then he gets pissed at Hannah because they're having an affair.
Mm-hmm. Which is she always wanted to be with him.
Yep. And he gets pissed at Hannah, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're the one that got me arrested.
You ruined my life back then.
Well, tried to ruin my life.
Right.
Because I'm assuming when they talk to Katarina, she's like, no, this was consensual.
Right. Because how would he be a cop now if he had that on his
record? And they have three kids. And Katarina said back then, I don't want kids. I don't want no kids.
Yeah.
How do you?
Thanks.
Woo. So in 1980, so after that, Ulrich's arrested. In 2019, with Yassine also vanished, panic starts spreading. Charlotte accuses Peter of being involved in the boy's disappearance. So Charlotte's the other cop.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, we find out, apparently used to, a year ago, cheated on Charlotte with a guy.
Yep.
And he's freaking out about something, and we haven't found out what it is yet.
Has something to do with that notebook, though, I think.
Has something to do with something, yeah. She finds a game camera with a picture of him on it. So she knows that he's lying, but we still don't know what. Hannah wants to resume her affair with Ulrich, but he, you know, no.
Oh, yeah, he loses it on her.
At the hotel, the stranger tells Regina, that's the one that Katarina beats the shit out of, to deliver a package to Jonas while he is away for a few days. And at Michael's grave.
This is still episode 5.
Episode 5. The stranger approaches Jonas, which... He wants the lady to deliver a package to the person he's going to go see, telling him that his father...
had to be delivered by tonight, so...
Yeah, telling him that his father once saved his life.
Yep.
And
this is where we get the dramatic reveal, but, like, subtly.
Yeah.
Because back in 86, Mikkel goes outside of the hospital and meets up with Hannah. Because he's sitting there on the bench reading a book.
And she comes over and sits down next to him.
And he shows her magic.
Yep.
You know, Harry Houdini style, and kind of impresses her a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she goes over and sees them having sex and decides to make up this whole story. Yeah. But, you know, this was their first time kind of like, oh, cool, you're a cool person.
So Bartov meets with Eric Olden from his drug supplier, who was shown to be the same priest who visited Mikkel 33 years earlier.
Mm.
So Noah, the priest, is also a drug dealer.
And hasn't really aged.
Right. Yeah, hasn't aged. Later, Jonas receives a stranger's package. It contains some sort of weird, cool light.
Yeah, it's like futuristic.
And there's a handle and it's a ball and it's not affected by whatever's going on. Because when shit happens in this town and the lights all flutter everywhere and then all the birds die because their eardrums burst and shit. Yeah. And a Geiger counter. And Michael's suicide letter.
And it says... there's a thing that says follow the signal on the map. So he assumes that one of these has to do with that.
In the letter, Jonas' father explains that on November 4th, 2019, he traveled back to 1986 where he stayed and grew up. He was raised by Inez. And he eventually married Hannah. And he changed his name from Mikkel to Michael.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun! Not as cool as the bent neck lady reveal.
But it was still pretty cool.
But a pretty huge fucking reveal.
The first scene we got in this show was Michael committing suicide with that letter that said, do not open until, which we now finally get to see the letter, which was saying, by the way, I'm Mikkel, the kid that disappeared that night. You guys were all trying to get the drugs out of the mine.
Yeah.
Surprise.
I got stuck in 86. I married someone. I had kids.
Yeah.
I had children.
I am your father.
I'm your dad.
And like I said, it threw me off at first because I thought that this was Mikkel's brother. So I was like, wait a minute. So he married his mother and then his two progeny were his brother and himself. But no,
that would be impossible.
No, because it's Ulrich's son.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Jonas doesn't take that letter to anybody. He doesn't.
No.
He doesn't seem to think like, oh, I should act on this. He goes to the cave.
Yeah, and then we get to episode 6. In 2019, Mikkel's family struggles not to turn against each other.
Mm.
Regina finds out that she has breast cancer. Sad. Ulrich learns that his father was having an affair with Claudia at the time of Mad's disappearance, which is why his father wasn't there. After learning that Regina was the last one to see Mads in 86, Ulrich confronts her, and she admits to detesting him for bullying her during childhood. Because we see, like, They tied her up to a tree?
They tied her up to a tree.
Yeah.
Like lashed her to a tree.
Yeah.
And left her out there. And even now, as adults, he's just like, we were kids. We were playing.
Yeah. No, that's not. I'm so sorry. That was a really shitty thing. We never should have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No apology whatsoever. Yeah. He's like boys will be boys kind of thing.
Right. Which is bullshit.
So that's why she hates them. And yeah. That's why they assume that she's the one that filed.
But she's the one that makes him realize that Hannah's the one that framed him for rape.
Well, after,
yes.
You know, because she says that, and then, you know, Cynthia? Yeah.
Yeah. Vagina.
No. Ulrich's wife.
Oh, Katerina.
Katerina's kind of like listening to a radio call-in show, and she calls in and says that this town sucks and that everybody here is terrible and that, yep. You know, bad things happen and everybody should leave. And that's what prompts the fight between her and right. Regina. You know, where Regina's like, why don't you just leave the house?
There's a play going on and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and her daughter is she's like, I want to be in this play, I want to do this, you know. But then she kind of like, I think she's Persephone. And yeah. She kind of like goes a little off script and has this whole big, long soliloquy and then like breaks down right there on the stage. And,
yeah.
Just starts crying.
It was good, though.
It was.
Yeah.
And everybody's just sitting there waiting, and her mother's like, nope, I'm getting up there, and takes her off stage.
We'll go back to Ulrich in a second. Jonas doesn't tell his mom about the suicide letter, but instead takes the Geiger counter and the light and his dad's maps, and he goes to the caves with his dad's notes and the equipment, and he finds a door with a Latin phrase on it that says, thus the world was created.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a claustrophobic person. However, watching these scenes of him crawling around.
Oh, in yeah, no, fuck that.
It was disturbing. Like, I'm sitting there like, ugh.
I always think about when you watch these movies, people crawl through these caves or these tight places. I'm like, I'd just be fucking dead. I'm too big to go through that stuff.
I
would be left behind and dead.
I mean, these were well carved out tunnels.
Yes.
They were like completely square, but it just really, it seems.
But he goes through he goes through two doors that mm-hmm. like kind of.
That first door.
Lights to go open, then it shuts behind him, and then he goes through another one, and like.
Well,
lights flicker everywhere, and.
He goes through the first one, and then when he moves forward, it splits off in two different directions.
Yeah.
They both go on seemingly forever.
Yeah.
And there's no more indication of which way he should go. Like, there's no signal coming from either
right.
one. And so he goes to the right.
Yeah.
And then he comes to the second door.
And then he gets through that door, and he's now out in the world, and it's raining. And he sees flyers up for Mads Nielsen missing. And the van pulls up, and it's 14-year-old Hannah. That's his mom.
Yeah.
And her father. And they, hey, you want to ride? I mean, it's acid rain. You shouldn't be out in this. Acid rain? No, you know, from Chernobyl. I mean, they say it's okay now, but I don't really think it is. And he takes off running.
Well, he's like a little stunned. And then yeah. She goes, come on in. I'm Hannah. And he goes, Hannah?
Yeah.
Because he probably recognized the guy next to her as like grandfather.
Grandfather, yeah.
Yeah, probably like some similarity. And then she says Hannah. And he's just like, I got to go. And he just takes off. Yeah.
Ulrich is looking through some old photos. After confronting his mother and finding about the affair and everything, he's looking through some old photo albums. And he comes across a picture of him and his brother, and he recognizes the sweatshirt on his brother. Long and the short of it.
And, most importantly, the scar on his chin.
The scar on his chin, and we get a story about the mother telling
how they were fighting over He-Man figures,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, basically. And he smashed his chin on a coffee table and
glass
busted it open. Glass
right
table.
Through the glass table. They thought he was going to die, but it was just a little cut on his chin.
So he goes into the morgue and sees the corpse, and we find out that the dead kid that appeared, that they found, is Mads, but he hasn't aged. It's been 33 years. He hasn't aged. He hasn't decayed, rotted, whatever you want to call
it. Other than the big scorch marks that took his eyes.
And they had already established time of death had only been a few hours.
Yeah.
So, because they had found him in the sweatshirt that Mads sees him wearing in the picture.
Yep.
So I thought that was Mads from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, that's definitely Mads. But then I didn't know if the stranger was Mikkel Older.
Right.
But then we find out he's Michael.
Yeah.
And so we still don't know who the stranger is.
But apparently Mikkel / Michael saved this guy's life at one point.
Right. And we see that we meet the priest Noah, who's a priest and a drug dealer. But in 86 or in 2019, he hasn't aged. He looks the same. And you have Peter, the dementia guy, going like, we got to stop Noah. So it's interesting. I'm hooked into it.
Yep, I'm firmly hooked. It took 6 episodes, but...
We've got 4 episodes to go.
For the first season.
For the first season.
So. And then I think it's like 8 per second and third. I want to say
8. 8 and 8, yeah. Yep. So.
Awesome. And those are the only 3 seasons.
Yes.
You know, it's done after that.
Any other TV shows for you?
I don't think so.
Want to talk about some films?
Certainly. Let's talk about some films.
Okay. So I watched 5 movies this week.
I watched 4.
I watched 3 new ones and 2 old ones.
I watched 4 new ones and okay. No old ones.
The 2 old ones I watched, the first one was The Great Outdoors.
Mm.
Classic John Candy, Dan Aykroyd.
Awesome.
You know what's funny? I haven't seen it in years. I've been wanting to watch it, so I did. And it's still good. Not as good as I recall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's one of those ones where it's like, all right, this is – I definitely had fonder memories of this than watching it the second time. Well, not second time. It's probably, but I haven't seen it in probably 20 years or better. So.
Okay.
But I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, do you know what it was about it that you just didn't like as much? Or
the big scene I always remember takeaway from is he's eating that giant steak. Yes, you know, all the fat and the gristle. And then, of course, you know, him getting dragged around and out on the lake and everything. But Dan Aykroyd's character is more annoying than I remember.
Okay.
Or maybe maybe my bullshit meter, as you know, after working 20 years in public safety, is like not tolerant of his bullshit. That could be it.
I don't know, man. He was a bit of a
he was just way more annoying than I remember. And the voice he did in the whole episode is essentially like his like salesman.
Yep.
Announcer, commentator voice, because he's constantly selling.
Bass-O-Matic 76er.
Yeah, so I don't know. And then Saturday night, my son and I went to the drive-in to take a 40th anniversary screening of The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
Fucking awesome.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. It was great. When the movie's over, the credits start, people are clapping. Like,
because they came there for that reason.
Yes.
Like, nobody came there thinking, oh, maybe I'll go check out this flick.
I've never seen this movie before. No. They have 165 spots for cars with this COVID half fill, if you will.
Yep.
I don't think they sold out, but there was definitely well over 100 cars there. So, I mean, they had a good turnout for the screening, and we got good weather.
I'm so happy that drive-ins are making a comeback, man.
I was talking to Kane about that on the way home, because he was like, because this is only the second time he's been to the drive-in, and he was just like, that is such a cool experience, and da-da-da-da. I'm like, yeah, and honestly, I go, drive-ins, just even 7 years ago when they switched from digital, when they switched from print to digital, which it didn't happen, the switchover didn't happen as fast as the studios thought it would, but when right. they basically, like, drop dead dates, give me this, they got extended a couple of years, but still, like, there was a fear that drive-ins were going to be a thing of the past. They just weren't going to function anymore, they weren't going to be around anymore, because... You know, it's one thing to have a business that you're maintaining and you can do enough business to maintain it, but to have to do a $150,000 upgrade, that's a lot of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that upgrade, now you don't get new movies, now you can only screen old movies. Well, is it going to work just screening old movies? People are not, you know, are people going to go for old movies? Who knows? Maybe not every week, but maybe once in a while they will. So, you know, however, with no new movies coming out of the studios, that's all they've done is play old movies.
Yeah.
And I see week after week, sold out for Friday. We have cash tickets for Saturday or whatever it is, because you know they pre-sell tickets up until a certain point, and then you know. But yeah, I think it's great. Drive-ins are definitely the good thing for drive-ins out of COVID is the fact that they're getting a huge boon in business this year.
I was talking to somebody and I was like, you know, I'd actually be really excited to have Halloween Kills at the drive-in. Imagine a back-to-back of the new Halloween and the Halloween Kills.
Oh, last year I went and saw It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 double feature.
Yeah.
But It Chapter 2 came out.
That's awesome.
Johnny and I went, we saw they did It Chapter 1 first, so hey, this is what last time, and then boom, It Chapter
Previously
2.
Previously on.
Yeah. But no, so we got the Halloween Kills teaser.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so fucking excited, and then at the end of the teaser they dropped the date. October 15th.
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah.
And I didn't catch it the first time through. And I was like, oh, this October, I'm definitely going to the drive-in for that. And I sent it to you, and I sent it to someone else, and Brandon came back with 2021. I went, what? So I went and watched it again and went, no! But whatever.
there are a lot of films that are being pushed because of not being able to film them.
Right.
And then there are some that are being pushed because they want to be able to make the bank at the box office. I get it.
Yep.
You know, whatever their reason. But
it feels like they've basically written off, no one's seeing new movies this October.
Yeah.
Which is, that kind of sucks too, because it's like Monday night, Saturday night in Maine had their first live wrestling event. And they had a crowd, they could limit their crowds to 50, da-da-da-da-da. They weren't good matches. I didn't go, but I saw, I know enough people, I know some people that went, and it wasn't worth it. And then you have Limitless Wrestling, the best promotion in Maine, and hopefully maybe they'll run a show this year, but there's no real hope they're gonna. Yeah. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So it almost kind of sucks that it's July, and it's like, fuck. If they would have told me in March that don't plan on any live anything through the end of the year, I would have been like, really?
Yeah.
But now in July, it's almost like, that's really going to happen.
Yeah.
But hey, we have to drive in.
Yeah. And that's
the thing. I'm grateful for that.
You know, if they wanted to, some of these bigger ones that are coming out that they keep pushing back, like Black Widow or Mulan, if they wanted to say, fuck it, let's release it, you know, on demand like they did and at drive-ins, I would totally be down. I actually like the drive-ins.
I like the drive-in a lot, too. That's the third time I've been this year. Yeah. You've been a few times this year.
I have.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, anyhow, the two trailers we got before Empire Strikes Back was Tenet, which it's still LG coming out in August.
Tenet. What? Because it's the same forwards and backwards. T-E-N-E-T. Tenet.
Okay. Tenet. And then we got Maverick, Top Gun. And at the end of the trailer, it did say June 2020. So I was like, they didn't even update the trailer.
Exactly.
But the three new movies I watched. I watched Guns Akimbo.
Yep. I watched that as well.
Palm Springs.
As did I.
The Old Guard.
Yeah.
What was your fourth one?
I watched the new Jim Jeffries Intolerant stand-up special on Netflix.
How was that?
Fucking hilarious. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
I have not.
Super thick Australian accent.
Nice.
He's hilarious. I thought that it was going to be intolerant, as in, like, you know, the state of politics in the world today. No. It was one of those comedy specials where it's an hour long, and in that whole time he tells an ongoing story, but then it gets broken up because he, like, goes off on side tangents. Mm-hmm. The Mike Labby way of telling a story.
I'm nodding in agreement.
So the story is he talks about how he is lactose intolerant. And he doesn't like the way that the word is used because he's like, you know, say you're having Thanksgiving dinner with your family. It was something like this, but I'll paraphrase. He's like, say you're having Thanksgiving dinner and your uncle comes in. He has a MAGA hat and he sits down. He wants to tell you everything that's wrong with immigrants and the country as it is. He goes, I'm intolerant of that guy. He doesn't make me shit my pants by being in the same room as me. He's like, when I have milk or cheese or ice cream, I shit my pants. He goes, you could set your watch by it. It's 40 minutes. I will shit my pants. So like I said, he'll get off on tangents. Then he'll come back and he'll be like, okay. So it's basically this story about how he went out to dinner with this woman who he'd been seeing for a while. And every time they had gone to her house, and this was going to be the first night they went to his house, and he had some dairy. And it's like this constant progression of getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. It was quite a riot. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Sometimes you just need that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So, starting at the top.
Guns Akimbo?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I thought this was an amusing movie.
I do, too.
I would have seen it in the theater. I still would have enjoyed it. I'm glad I saw it for free because it's on Amazon Prime.
Heck yeah.
But it definitely had a video game feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is
it based on a video game?
Nope. But, I mean, technically it is because, like, everything that they did, his little lefty and righty.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of pistols they bolted to his hands.
Well, they weren't just bolted to his hands. They were up his arms, so I'm guessing the clip went up his arm.
Maybe, but what went up his arm looked more like a brace.
Sure.
Like, they actually have those for stabilization and stuff. That's right. What it looked like to me. I'm like, how does this pistol have 50 rounds in each one of them?
Well, it is the future, so maybe bullets are smaller in this.
Maybe.
I don't know. Either way, yeah.
So every time he would fire one of his guns, we'd get a little flash on the screen that would say whatever it was, lefty or righty, and then what the new current was out of 50.
So this is a future where there's a underground fight club type thing.
It's not even underground. It's above ground.
Well, it's still illegal, but not really. It's called Schism. It's live streaming, I guess, death matches between criminals and I guess, crazy people. But they get squared off. Nyx is the champion, and right now she's squared off with someone. People watch this on every streaming device they have, and they basically watch each other, with drones and other cameras. You see these people hunt each other down, and when someone kills someone else, you have a winner.
Which, by the way, Nyx was played by Samara Weaving,
and
I had to look that up, and then I had to look it up again, because they really, they gave her pale blue contacts, they shaved her eyebrows, they gave her those metal fangs on her incisors. I'm just looking at her, I'm like, this does not look like Samara Weaving at all, but they did a good job of making her up then.
Yep, they did.
Sometimes people volunteer to be in this because you can earn money, you can earn prizes and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's the audience decides who does what. You know, the audience is fan favorites, blah, blah, blah.
But what's his face? Daniel Radcliffe's character, Miles. He basically gets drunk, goes onto the message board of Schism, and starts trolling people.
This is what he does. He trolls people constantly.
Yeah, and he admits it. This is what he does for fun.
Yep, it's Colin Robinson.
Yeah.
He just sits there and he pushes people's buttons and trolls them. And then finally, one of the Schism admins sends a message back and he's like, you're a fucking loser and you keep it up and you're going to get punished. And he's like, oh, go eat and stick your dick in a blender.
Yeah.
And the guy sends him his IP address and goes, rookie move. And he's like, oh, shit. So.
And it turns out this guy is the guy who runs Schism, the kingpin of it, if you will, Victor. And takes Miles, knocks him out, attaches the guns to his hand, and makes him the new opponent for Nyx.
Oh my god, they bolt it so that the guns are firmly in his hands.
Yeah.
His fingers are wrapped around them, the fingers are right on the trigger finger, and then every other finger is bolted to the gun so that he has full grips. Like, he doesn't have...
He can't even take his finger off the trigger.
No.
Yeah, everything's attached.
Yep. And they're bolted to his arms, his hands, like, he is fucked.
Yeah. And at one point, he's talking about, he's like, I need to put some antiseptic on this one because it looks nasty, but it doesn't seem to hurt him.
Right.
Like, it's weird because when he shoots the gun at first, it hurts him.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, but then by the end when he's shooting, it doesn't seem to bother him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's able to take his phone out of his pocket. He's able to function somehow. Yeah. He can't dress himself. I mean.
The recoil on that would be ripping through his flesh.
Tearing his flesh apart, yeah.
Oh.
So. Anyhow, long and the short of it.
It's a ridiculous movie.
It's a ridiculous movie. It's a fun movie. It just came out, so I don't want to give away the ending.
Right. And it has Riz Darby in it.
Yeah. That's the other thing. All three of these movies kind of just came out, so I don't want to give away the ending
to
all of them.
Yes.
But
let's just do high notes.
I would say, would I watch this again? Sure. Someday in the future.
This would be a fun popcorn movie if we were like, hey, let's get together and watch this.
Yeah, let's just throw this on.
Yeah.
The Old Guard. Well, let's go to Palm Springs first, actually.
Okay.
That's on Hulu.
Yep.
Because we're going to do Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime on this round.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
So, Palm Springs, it's your typical – not typical. It is your time loop movie. It's at a wedding.
So, we'll say Groundhog Day meets rom-com meets raunchy.
We got Andy Samberg is a guy named Niles who's stuck in a time loop and accidentally sucks Christine –
Kristen Milioti.
Thank you. Kristen Milioti, who plays Sarah into it. And so that's where the romance comes place. It's at Sarah's sister's wedding. And
Sarah's sister is Camila Mendez. Yeah. And her fiance slash new husband is Superman.
Tyler Hoechlin. Yeah. And Andy Samberg's girlfriend's Misty, who's played by Meredith Hanger. And she is so fucking annoying in this.
Yeah.
Agner. It's a fun movie.
I loved it.
It's fun. It's a great time loop flick.
Because it has good humor.
New spin on it.
Yep, new spin on it.
Find out what caused it. This is what caused it, but we really don't really know what caused it. But this is the thing that causes it.
Good messages.
Yep.
There was some good character development. I really liked some of the twists in it.
Yep.
I'll just say Roy.
Yeah.
I loved Roy.
Roy was awesome.
Roy was amazing.
Well, Roy is played by J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
So
anything he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
real good.
legitimately, if you want something that's funny, if you want something that makes you think a bit, if you want a nice rom-com, check out this movie. Like, this is my pick of the week. This is probably my pick of the summer right now. I love this flick.
It's only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
There is a mid-credit scene, so stick around for that. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's... I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And after this, we'll talk about that mid-credit scene, because there was a little bit of a weird part to it. So,
yeah. Okay. And then the last one we watched was The Old Guard.
Yes. Which, did it feel to you like they really set this up, like they want to move forward in this universe?
Oh, God, yes. Especially with the...
It's been a while since I've seen a movie that literally felt like, especially at the end, that it was just a setup for future movies or TV shows or whatever.
Basically, the premise of this movie is you have these four people. And Charlize Theron is their leader. She goes by Andy. And there's three other guys that are in their gang or their group. And essentially, they're immortal. They don't know how they became immortal. It's not like Highlander. Well, it's similar to Highlander in the fact that they found out they're immortal when they died the first time.
Yep.
And we learn that they do have a time limit of life, but they don't know what it is or when it is or how long it is.
Or why it is. But they can, quote unquote, die.
Yes. Like,
they can be shot, stabbed, drowned, whatever.
They feel pain.
Yes. And their bodies just regenerate from it very quickly. So they can be put down, and then their body will spit the bullets back out and get back up.
And the more violently they are injured, the longer it can take for the body to heal, but it heals.
Yep.
And we learn that there's been others in the past that have been immortal that are no longer gone. We learn about some of their backstories. There was times in this movie where I watched it and I thought, man, I would really like this to be a TV series.
I know!
But then there were other times in the movie as I was watching, I was like, but a part of me is glad I'm not, because I can see all kinds of ridiculous bullshit they would write into this to drag some of the storyline out.
Yeah.
However, like you said, based on the ending, it's definitely been set up to be, there's going to be another movie.
At least.
There has to be at least another movie.
Like you were saying, I wouldn't mind if they'd spun it off into a TV series, you know?
If they spun it off into a TV series, and they did so by not focusing on the whole movie, but focusing on parts. I'd be cool with that.
Think about your example, Highlander.
Yes.
Highlander was a good movie.
Yeah.
The TV show was awesome.
Yes, it was. That's so true, but they didn't... But the TV show was Duncan MacLeod. And the movies were Connor MacLeod.
Yep.
And we do see Connor MacLeod a couple of times in the show.
Which is awesome.
And then, of course, there's the Highlander Endgame movie that's got Connor and Duncan in it. Is that... not really.
Any of the movies after number one, I just wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Even the one where they crossed over. No.
However, in this, it'd be interesting to see... It'd be interesting to see some of their stories, like, back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess.
Yep.
So...
or just a completely different group.
Yep. Again, I don't want to give it away. I'm going to give this a hard sell, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, I watched...
good action.
Yeah. Great action, great gunplay, great fight scenes.
Yeah. Right? Like, you know, slamming the butt of the gun into the ground, blowing the guy's head off, picking it up, like, the way that they danced with each other as a team was really good.
I mean, one of the guys makes mention that, like, Andy... Charlize Theron's character, she says, like, she's been killing people for so long,
she's forgotten more ways how to kill people than armies will ever learn.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys have been such a finally... because, like, we see a picture of them in the Civil War together as a unit. Mm-hmm. You know, where she's dressed up as a guy. Because the other three people in the unit are guys. So, like, they've been teaming together, well, since 1812, at the very least, since, you know... since at least 1812, they've been together, Andy with the other two guys longer.
But
for over 200 years, they've been together as a team. So they're, you know, it's like wrestlers. They've wrestled so many matches together. They can say, hey, let's just do the one we did in Chicago 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago or da-da-da-da. Okay, yeah, they've wrestled together so much they don't even need to think about a match. They just, you know, talk about it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was like this. It's like, hey, do you want to do the plan we did in 34? Yeah, okay, that's probably, let's do that. And, like, the new girl's like, yo, like, 1934?
Yeah, what happened in 1934?
Yeah. No, 1834. Yeah, exactly. Same type of thing. They've been together for so long that they don't even, you know.
Fun facts, the big bad guy, Harry Melling, the one with the weird eyes that were way too close together.
Sure, Stephen Merrick.
Yeah. He played Dudley Dursley in the Harry Potter movies.
I didn't watch the Harry Potter movies.
I know you didn't, yeah. If you ever decided to go back, he did.
I'm probably not going to. I don't think I knew Harry Potter movie coming out or some shit, but...
And then Copley.
Oh, he was the
Baron Mordo.
Yeah.
Loved it.
He was also...
The operative?
The operative, thank you. I couldn't think of the single word phrase, yeah, for Serenity, but yeah, the operative. So. No, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Apparently he was also Scar in the new version of The Lion King.
Yes, he was.
He was Dr. Watson in Sherlock Gnomes.
I did not know that.
Anywho.
Yeah. It was a great flick. I could definitely see another movie coming out of this.
Oh, easily.
I mean, I know they set it up to have one. I hope they do one. I hope they decide, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But the movie's only been a couple of days, so I don't want to give it away.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got, too. Oh, no. We talked about the trailer for Halloween
Kills. Oh, that's right. We also had trailers for Umbrella Academy Season 2.
Yep.
And The Boys Season 2.
Yep. Both look great.
Both look great. I can't wait. I love the Umbrella Academy where we basically get to see that all the kids have kind of gone their separate ways.
Yep.
And the cult is such a fitting place for him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's running his... And he even says that, you know, oh, my cult's going to be so sad. They basically brought the apocalypse back with them. So the world was going to end originally, like, in their timeline. Now they're back in time, and they've got 7 days. So that's going to be interesting to figure out. I love this show. I'm so excited. And The Boys looks stellar as well.
I'm very excited that Anna Cash has joined the show, Aya Cash, whatever. Mm. I really dug her character in the first teaser we got, so I'm looking forward to see what else we have.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. So, news, what you got?
The only thing I have is I sent you that, I guess ABC is going to... It's not a reboot of The Wonder Years?
This is, yeah, I don't know if you can really call it a reboot.
So The Wonder Years took place late 60s, early 70s, with Fred Savage as Kevin Arnold and his family.
The Midwest.
Yep. The new series is going to be called The Wonder Years again, except it's going to be a black family. And it's going to take place in Alabama during the same time frame, late 60s, early 70s. So there's going to be...
Fred Savage will be involved, writing and producing.
But... I'm very surprised because you cannot be in Alabama in the late 60s, early 70s with a coming-of-age story of a young child and not deal with racism, which is, I'm surprised, is a subject matter they want to tackle in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's what I said. I was talking to my sister about this, and she was like, well, it's quite possible that somebody pitched this idea a long time ago, and they were like, no, nobody wants that. And now with the world as it is, they were like, go dig up that draft.
Maybe they're hoping it'll teach people about tolerance.
Maybe.
I don't know. But it's
definitely something that would be pertinent right about now.
It surprises me because you know racism has to play into this because it's set in Alabama.
Yeah. Civil rights. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
And I think that's the whole point of it.
So, yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I'll check it out because I just want to compare it to the show I grew up on.
There's going to be a new Constantine movie.
Yeah, and I guess there's a chance that Keanu Reeves is going to be in it.
I'd like to see both, him and Matt Ryan. I think that'd be cool. Alternate universe, Constantines.
That would be awesome, yeah.
Javicia Leslie is going to be the new Batwoman. Her name's going to be Ryan Wilder. You wouldn't know her, but she was the sister on God Friend Me.
Okay.
And she was good. I liked her. So yeah, her new character is going to be Ryan Wilder. She will be Batwoman. And, I don't know. I will be interested to see how they write that. I still haven't finished out the series. I probably will not watch it when it comes back just because I wasn't compelled to watch it.
Yeah.
The rest of the season, same thing with Supergirl. So, apparently, you know how they are doing more monster movies? Apparently, Ryan Gosling is going to be starring in a reboot of The Wolfman. Did you hear this?
Nope.
Ryan Gosling, one of the most handsome men in Hollywood, is going to be in The Wolfman. Well, they needed a director, so they got a director, Lee Whannell, who just did The Invisible Man.
Oh, are they going to let Lee Whannell do the Universal Monsters?
He's got two of them now, if this does go through. So he'll have The Wolfman and
The Mummy
Invisible
was
Man.
The shits.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, yeah. The Mummy was the shits. Mm-hmm. Which is why which kiboshed everything. So I was surprised to see The Invisible Man come back, but they did it in a completely different way, unassociated with how they did the old universe. Maybe that's what he'll do.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. Matt Reeves is the guy who's directing the new Batman movie called The Batman, the one with Edward Cullen, you know, from Twilight.
Right.
So he's also now developing a TV spinoff for HBO Max called, well, I don't know what it's called, but it's going to be about Gotham PD.
Yes, I kind of heard something about that.
It'll be set in the world that he's creating for his feature film, The Batman, the intent being on launching a new Batman universe across multiple platforms. It's said to build on the film's examination of the anatomy of corruption in Gotham City. It's the first project in an overall deal Reeves has with Warner Brothers and marks a bold but familiar new expansion. So, basically, this could be very good because of two things. One, it's going to be on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So it'll be able to be gritty and dark and grown up and
adult, if you will.
Yeah. So it won't be like Gotham was on Fox, where, you know, they had to play by network rules. And it's being done by the same guy who is doing the next movie. So it's going to be his vision across both the movie and the TV series.
But that is that the vision that's going to be across the fucking rest of the DC universe?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
That nothing lines up with this DC universe.
Exactly.
They just need to give it up.
Yeah.
Well, because they're going to try and retcon it with Zack Snyder and his Justice League version.
Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that.
Same here. All right, well, that's the show. On Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.